Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Everyone, welcome to the Eloquently Speak and View talk show. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and I am affectionately known as the Pastor of Poetry. We bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. We have a wonderful show prepared for you tonight. Our theme for the month of April is mental wellness. And before we go into the show, I want to share the mental wellness tip of the day, and it's all about you. The best project you will ever work on is yourself. So we want to encourage you to be good to yourself and dare to be different. So this tip is all about you. Yes, it's all about you because you matter. Do you know that you are the best project that you will ever work on, and that you have a multitude of gifts, skills, talents, and abilities to be all that you want to be? It doesn't have to be just a dream, because dreams do come true. You simply have to believe in yourself. You have to believe that you have what it takes to get the job done. God has deposited all kinds of gifts, skills, talents, and abilities inside of you that will catapult you to greatness. And it all starts with you and how you think and feel about you. This message is for those people that love to be behind the scene. And you see greatness inside of everybody else, and you push others to their next level of success while you neglect yourself because of unbelief and fear of failing. Who is the Holy Spirit speaking to tonight? Take some time to address the spirit of fear in your life, because fear is associated with worry, anxiety, doubt, and unbelief. All of these cohorts work together to discourage you and prevent you from working on you and completing the projects that you started. So let's turn this thing around by working on the greatest project that you will ever work on, which is you. Take the much needed time to invest in yourself. Get to know yourself, learn your strengths and your weaknesses, and dig this, it's time to perform healthy confrontation. It is time to love yourself, to be kind to yourself, to do the work and push through the pain. Feel the fear and do it anyhow. And you know what? I believe in you, and you got this. So take care of your mental health. Let go of those negative thoughts that dictate who you are not. And I'm going to say that again. Let go of those negative thoughts that dictate who you are not, and defy the lies of the enemy and be who you are unapologetically. So be good to yourself. That is our mental wellness tip of today. And I chose to share that tip after the song, "The Potter Wants to Put You Back Together Again." So welcome to self-abandonment, which is our topic tonight. And we have a larger panel tonight. I want to introduce everyone, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to Erica Burnett. She is going to be our co-host tonight. So she is going to oversee this discussion, and we're all going to join in. If you have a question, a testimony, or a poem that you would like to share, or a prayer request, please press 1 on your phone, and we will open up your mic so that we can honor your request. We thank you so much for joining us. And I would like to introduce you to Apostle Sheila A. Olive, Talana Coleman, Erica Burnett, and we also have Deborah Venice. I'm not sure if she's on the line yet. If you are, please press 1 so that I can see you and open up your mic. But ladies, how are you? Thank you so much for joining me tonight for this discussion. And I'm going to give everyone a chance to just greet, and then we're going to turn the mic over to Erica so that she can lead us into tonight's discussion.
Good evening, good evening, good evening.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hello.
Wonderful. Awesome. Thank you.
Well, are you ladies excited about tonight's topic? What did you think about the tip, the wellness tip? Was that speaking to anyone?
Very
I think
excited.
The wellness. Yeah, and I'm very excited, and I thought the wellness tip was awesome because so oftentimes we have people that are going through and they don't know exactly how to break through from what they're going through. So even in reference to what you spoke about, that tip, I think that's going to be so beneficial in setting people free.
Yes, amen, amen. And Apostle Sheila, you wanted to say something?
I think the tip was like a guiding light for people who might find themselves presently in a dark space. We always say there's light at the end of the tunnel, and you showed them that light this evening.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we thank God. And what I love about our roundtable discussions is everybody's comment really makes a difference. And I'm really excited as well, Talana, and thank you so much for joining us. And at this time, we're going to introduce to some and present to others Miss Erica Burnett, who is also a life coach, and welcome to the mic.
Hi, Miss Stacy. Hi, everybody. How are you?
Hello.
Doing good, thank you.
Good, good. Thank you so much for having me, Stacy, as always. I appreciate, you know, the time to the opportunity to actually speak and hopefully help someone and also to be in fellowship with you ladies this evening.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are excited.
Okay, what I'm going to start out with is everyone introducing themselves, and I'll actually go last. So whoever wants to go first, please just, you know, your name and, you know, introduce yourself and, you know, what you do.
Okay, I'll go first. Hi, greetings, everyone. My name is Talana Coleman. I am the director of Heaven Sent Christian Child Care located in the Germantown section of the city. I am also a first-time children's author of book titled I Am Important.
That's wonderful. You're in my location. I live in Germantown.
Praise God.
Wonderful. We have an author. All right.
Yes.
Okay, who wants to go next?
Good evening. This is Apostle Sheila A. Olive from South Jersey. I am the founder and CEO of Birthing Room Ministries International, also the CEO of Reignite Coaching. We coach spiritual leaders who are experiencing burn out in the kingdom of God and help them to reignite their fire for ministry, and also founder of Exception to the Rule, which is a advocacy resource group for parents with special needs children.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for your introduction. All right, Ms. Stacy Lunsford, you're up next.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Stacy. I am the executive producer for the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and I praise God we are in 37 countries around the world. I started this out simply with a desire to encourage people by sharing inspirational messages of hope. I am the ink in God's ink pen. I love poetry. I'm also a published author with a book of poetry anthology with other writers entitled Unleashed. And a lot of the poetry in that book is also associated with some of the things that we're going to be talking about. I could go on and on about who I am, but I think it's more important to just say that I'm an instrument of change and a humble servant that is concerned about the condition of the body of Christ and humanity in general. And I hope to make a difference with the content that we bring to our audience. A lot of people are dealing with really serious issues, and I believe Talana said earlier, and even Apostle Sheila, shine in that light. So our objective is to, I mean, everybody has very, you know, wonderful backgrounds. Everyone is extremely gifted, anointed, and called by God. But together, we are God's hammer. And tonight, we're going to break up the fallow ground. And tonight, we're going to expose the works of the enemy. And we're going to show people how to get back on the potter's wheel so that they could get in the middle of God's will, so that he can put us, all of us, back together again, because none of us have it together. But we need to be honest and take off our mask and reveal what we're going through. I'm not saying to just openly just tell everybody your business, but we need to find a safe place where we can be ourselves and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. I'm hurting. I feel bad in this area. And so that's where we are.
Wonderful, and absolutely, we are definitely, we're here to serve, we're here to help, absolutely. My name is Erica Burnett. I am a certified life coach and owner of Pathways of Reflection, which is my coaching business. I'm here to serve, I'm here to help in any capacity possible to let people know that there is light, like we mentioned before, shining light. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You don't have to suffer in silence. You don't have to suffer alone. We have people out here in this world who are dedicated to helping you break through whatever trauma, you know, that you need to get through in order to live a better life, a peaceful life, a more abundant life, you know. So we're going to talk about something that we all either have done or are doing or will do in the future, which is self-abandonment. Self-abandonment, which is a serious issue, a really serious issue. And let me give you start with the meaning of self-abandonment. Self-abandonment is when you reject, suppress, or ignore yourself. Basically, you ignore who you are. You put all of your feelings aside. You put your needs aside. You put all of that aside, and you just ignore it. So whatever you need in the moment, you just push that aside, and you just keep on going, whatever it is that's going on. And ways you can, and these are just some of the ways that I jotted down that you can abandon yourself, and maybe someone out there will recognize and has actually done it, like in their past or whatever. One is judging yourself, meaning you're saying I'm not capable, I'm stupid, I just keep making mistakes, I can't do this, I can't do that. So it's basically negative self-talk, which is very dangerous. Another one is ignoring your feelings, meaning you feel sad, you feel depressed, overwhelmed, and you just ignore those feelings. You don't take them in, you don't work through them, you don't deal with them, which is also dangerous. Then there's hiding who you are. Maybe you're trying to impress somebody, and, you know, you think that they won't like the real you, so you put on an act and you hide your true self. Also, making others responsible for you. So you have these sad, depressed feelings. So instead of you taking that responsibility and working those things out, you place that responsibility on others to make you happy, which is never good. Not speaking up for yourself, which means you have no boundaries. It's okay to do things for people, but you got to put boundaries on them, which leads into the last one, which is very important, people-pleasing, which is what most have done, most people do on average, most people, not all people, most people, and it's consistently putting others' needs before your own. And this is often done with family and in romantic relationships. So with that said, straight out the gate, we talked about straight out the gate, can Apostle Sheila, can you know, would you mind sharing your thoughts on how self-abandonment shows up in a relationship?
I think straight out of the gate, self-abandonment robs you of your identity and individuality as a partner and as a spouse and as a friend, because it can also happen and manifest itself in friendship relationships. So self-abandonment is a thief to me, and maybe you ladies will agree or disagree.
I do agree that it is a thief. I do agree.
Go ahead, Talana, feel free. We're just going to flow.
I do.
Say what
okay.
You know.
Okay. I do agree that it is a thief. It does rob us of the identity that God has called us to be, for those gifts and those talents that he has gifted within us. They're kind of hitting sort of under the rug, and it doesn't allow us to truly walk in our calling that God has called us to be. And we kind of look for, even as the young lady said, we look to be people pleasers. You know, or we may suppress those emotions that we have. We hide who we are. So if we're hiding who we are, we can't truly identify to the world and to others who we truly are, because we're afraid, you know, and too often, you know, we may just neglect our feelings and the things that we may feel. And putting, you know, just putting others before us, and that's not what God would have us to do. And it's just so unfortunate that many people find themselves in this situation. But even in that, I think if we can truly recognize the signs and we can recognize it coming head on, then we can begin to work towards the healing of it. Because if we can't recognize that there is a problem, how can we work towards the healing? So I think it's, you know, so important that if someone does find them in this particular situation, to seek help. You know, you don't have to be embarrassed about the situation. You know, we have to really just stand up for ourselves and say, hey, I have a problem, and I'm not going to be afraid to seek out the help that I need. Because believe it or not, it's somebody else in your circle that may be going through the same thing that may not have the courage, you know, to stand up and to recognize that there is a problem. So with you standing up, you're that living example as to, hey, I'm going through this, but I trust God. And I think in the whole entire situation, we got to begin to trust God, and we have to seek God in every areas of our life so that we can break away free from these hidden things that want to creep up, you know, upon people. So I think it's, you know, so important.
Well, I want to jump in there because everything you said is so on point. And when you said we have to seek God, but how do we seek God when we're broken? How do we seek God when there's a hole in our heart? you know, if your pipe is leaking in the bathroom or in the kitchen, that water is going to keep leaking and leaking and leaking. And if you have a hole in your soul, if you have a hole in your heart, how are you going to seek God in that condition? And I want us to really be honest as we address that question, because that is the right thing to do. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all these things can be added unto us. And I don't know about you all, but I want to be brutally honest tonight. I want to, like, take off the mask, because there are times when you are going through the midst of the storm, when you are broken, you don't know who you are. You don't know where you're going. And you have all of these voices talking to you. And where is God at in your heart that has a hole in it? Where is God at in your soul that has a hole in it? And people, and I'm saying that because that's an open door for the spirit of robbery to come in and steal that person's voice, their power, their authority, and their identity. And then they go into isolation, and self-abandonment is attached to it. And before you know it, they're imprisoned. So we need to teach people through example how we can seek God, even when we feel we're at our lowest moment. And somebody, whoever is listening, it doesn't matter if you up on a valley, on a mountaintop, or down in the valley. It doesn't matter if you sparkly clean or you dirty. Whatever it is you did, God is not concerned about that. God is concerned about you coming to him in whatever condition you are. So don't avoid God when you're hurting, when you're broken, and even when you're dirty. We all get dirty. You know, we're not perfect. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But a righteous man gets back up seven times. And the key is to get back up knowing who you are. And I want to boldly say that we have all had experiences where we have backed up and we allowed the devil to back us up. We allowed the trials, the tribulations to back us up. But when we mature in the word of God and our relationship with God, when we allow God to start healing our hearts, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 51 and verse 10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. When God begins to cleanse our heart, and I mean, first we have to be at that place of surrender, which is connected to seeking him. So once we go to him and say, create in me a clean heart, we have to also be prepared for healthy confrontation, because we're going to confront those things we've been putting on the back burner that we've been avoiding because we don't want to deal with the hurt and the pain. But the truth of the matter is until we learn how to embrace the suffering, it is going to cause us to be in that self-abandonment relationship, even with God, where we move away from him, and it's not because of anything other than condemnation and false guilt, because false guilt will cause us to run away from God. But true guilt is in a spirit of humility. You really, really sorry about what you did, and you're going to run to God. And it's not always about what you did. Most people that fall in this category, it's been because of what was done to them by someone else or what somebody else said. And so I really want us to expose the works of the enemy tonight so that people can start getting untied. And even as I'm saying that, I see roots. I see roots that are entangled, that are intertwined, that, you know, they long, they deep, they short, they fat, they skinny. It's too many root issues. And people don't know how to deal with the root issues. So all of that came from you saying we got to seek God. And so, and earlier Apostle Sheila said, we may agree or we may not agree. Please, if you don't agree with whatever is being said, it's okay for us to agree to disagree. The goal is just to put our true feelings and provide information to our listeners that will catapult them to a special place in their relationship with God where they could go before him and say, God, Talana said, God, Apostle Sheila said, so that they could go a little deeper with this.
Amen. Amen. And yes. I think it's a faith walk. You know, we got to, it's going to take some courage. You know,
yes.
Oftentimes we're presented with some things and we may be afraid to confront those things, looking at what's in front of us. But even in God's word, you know, he tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. So we can look at something that may look as if it's going to devastate us or that we will not be able to conquer it. But when we know that we stand on the word of God and his word shall not and will never, ever come back void, and that we have our faith and our trust in him, sometimes we just got to push past fear. We just have to push past fear and know, like, look, God has told me X, Y, Z, and I'm crazy enough to believe what he's telling me to do. So sometimes we just got to really press beyond that fear. And I think when we really begin to press beyond that fear, that's telling God, okay, God, I trust you. You know, I trust you, so therefore I'm going to take this first baby step. God is waiting for us,
yeah,
even at times, to take that first baby step. He's waiting on us to do something. He's more than capable of bringing us out. But we have to have faith in him that we can do this. So take that first step. You know, you may not even understand it, but you just got to take that first step and know that he's there. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And for all of that other stuff that looked like it was disturbing to you, it looked like you were a failure, it may look like it was your fault, God's saying, just lay all of that, lay it at the altar. Just get rid of it. Lay it at the altar, my child. And once we begin to trust the process as to what God can do to bring us out, we are powerful. And I always tell people, if you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. You know, just if you got your little safety thing in your back pocket, you know, just say Jesus. Jesus is the one that will bring us out of anything, everything. So whenever you don't know what to do, you don't know where to start, you don't know to look left, to look right, just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just start walking around, just calling Jesus. And Jesus' name has power. And so whatever is trying to come up against you, everything must submit to the name of Jesus Christ. So if you don't know where to begin and you're afraid to begin, what I can recommend, and I can only recommend what I know is guaranteed, who I know is guaranteed, not what, but who I know is guaranteed, and that's Jesus. You know, you might be tired, you might have tears, your heart is broken, but if you just can gravitate and hold on to the name of Jesus, you may not know the next step. That's all right, because if you call on the name of Jesus and you have a willing heart to allow him to maneuver you through this situation, you're going to come out on top. But again, you have to believe it. You can't pray for something and you're double-minded in what you're thinking. God doesn't want that. He wants you to believe it without a shadow of a doubt that he can bring you out. So if I can encourage anybody that is out there and you're listening, if you're going through not even just only self-abandonment, but whatever situation you may find yourself in, if you can just begin to call on the name of Jesus Christ, and I guarantee you'll see change. And not saying that you won't have your tests and your trials, they're going to come, because the devil is mad when he sees someone working towards what God has for them. And that's their deliverance out of whatever they may be going through. The devil is mad. He's going to try to throw some things your way, believe it or not. But yet you still got to just stand firm and know that Jesus, he'll bring you out. He'll bring you out. You got to want to come out. You got to want to come out. And he's able to do it. He's able to do it.
I wanted to chime in on that. And it's something that Stacy said in regards to how do you, you know, reach out to God, you know, when you have a hole in your soul. So how do you do that? Which is a good question, because some people are not where we are. And they are not, they are in pain, and they just don't know what to do. They're still not going to call on Jesus. Some people are just not there where they're going to do that. And it's like, how do you tell this person, or how do you show them, or, you know, give them some kind of insight as to where do they go from here? If they're not there, if they're not, you know, not a believer and not a Christian, not walking in faith with God, with Christ, how do they even go about? And I can testify from myself is that God sent me, it was through people. It was through people, and not actually people who talked about God all the time. Now, they were Christian, and I didn't know that in the beginning. They didn't speak of God all the time. All they did was show me love and kindness and let me know that I could rely on them and I could talk to them, and they just were a friend to me. And then I found out later, you know, what the walk is about and how God led me from there, from one person to this person who's a Christian, who invited me to a women's breakfast at a church. And that's where basically where my walk began after my divorce. And it slowly led into that. A lot of times it's not so cut and dry. We can say, you know, call on Jesus. We know that. We know we're believers. Everybody is just not there, and it takes a person for you, maybe one of us, just to be a friend to that person and let them know that we have a listening ear, and we will listen to what they, you know, want to talk about, and we're just there to support, help, and show them some love and some compassion. A lot of times that will lead people into opening up and seeing that light, that shining light and guiding light at the end of the tunnel. So when God uses us as conduits to lead people to Him.
I think that's excellent transparency. It's,
I just wanted to share about. I just wanted to share that Hebrews 13:5 tells us that God will never leave us or forsake us. In Genesis 1, God came to visit Adam and Eve in the garden, and he asked them, "Where are you?" Because sin had shifted their position. And oftentimes we find ourselves in that same position when we take on the spirit, because self-abandonment is a spirit. So we need to address it as a spirit, talk about it as a spirit. And that spirit causes, Stacy said previously, causes separation between us and God and brings on self-condemnation, because spirits don't usually operate individually, they tag team. And so when those spirits begin to group up and begin to bring opposition against the individual, they find themselves distancing themselves from God. Now, it's not God that moves, it's us that move. And so in the realization, when we come to the realization that we've shifted and not God, God has not shifted, because he promised never to leave us or forsake us, then there comes a sense of repentance. And repentance means turning around, turning away. It means changing your direction and going back in the direction, the right direction, moving from the wrong direction to the right direction. So once we find ourselves on a path of repentance, slowly but surely, it's a process, we find our way back to God's loving arms. It's like the story of the prodigal son. He went away. He wanted to sow his wild oats. He went out, and he found himself in a place of self-abandonment, self-loathing, and realized that I haven't had it better in my father's house. Let me just go home. So that was a conscious act of repentance, moving away from the sin that had lured him away from the presence of God, from the presence of his father. And so he decided to turn and go back home. So it's a process. And yes, it does take God using people. It takes God speaking himself. But the ultimate thing is that God loves us even in times when we can't or don't love ourselves.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry, guys. Thank you so much, Apostle Sheila. That was well said. God does, he loves us all and always looks for ways to show us he loves us and show up for us and give us the help that we need. Definitely. I think we have three callers on the line. Stacy? Can anyone hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Erica, we're here.
Oh, okay.
I have a question, Erica.
Oh, sure.
How can we in the natural help ourselves to heal emotionally from the spirit of self-abandonment? Like, what tools would you ladies recommend using to help us, you know, find our healing, gravitate toward our healing?
I would say a good way to start is affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
So like daily affirmations, you can take positive phrases and put them on like your mirror in the bathroom, you know, on your desk, on your computer, wherever. Things that say like, I am worthy, I am capable, I am loved, you know, things of that. They just start with small phrases and look at those, read those phrases every day. And that's an easy start. And also listen to positive music. And it doesn't necessarily have to be gospel music, which is great. You can also find inspirational music in other realms. And watch maybe some, and like I do every day, I watch self-help videos by, you know, life coaches and pastors and ministers that I have vetted, and I've, you know, checked out their stuff to make sure, you know, it's good. And listen to some of their messages that will help build you up and, you know, teach you some, educate you on, you know, self-help tactics and things of that nature. And I still watch them. I've been watching them for years, and I still find content to take a look at. And these are easy things that don't take much work, and you can just throw that video on and you can clean and, you know, just listen to a podcast, put your earphones in and something positive and constructive that will help you move forward, that will edge you to move forward in a positive manner. So those are some of the easy things that you can start with, very easy for you to do.
Yeah.
Can I say also some things I think is also helpful? Always say seek, for me, always, you know, seek God. But also if you prioritize yourself, just remind yourself that you do matter and begin to really begin to love on yourself, you know, begin to look at the situations that concern you are important. And also you need to, you can also honor and acknowledge what your needs are, you know, begin to look at what your needs are and seeing at what place, you know, they hold in your life and that, you know, they have significance. Also say you can also find a safe space. Know that you set the tone as to how you'll delegate your feelings. You know, it's so important that, we find that safe space so that when everything else seems chaotic around us, you know, you can begin to retreat to that safe space and to know, yes, I'm safe here. And then you can begin to tap into those feelings that you may be experiencing. And I also say stay present, remain focused and engaged in the here and now. You know, stay present in, you know, in situations. Begin to really begin to take control over your feelings, you know, for yourself. Understand that your feelings are validated. You know, begin to validate yourself and also to do self-care. Find those things that you enjoy doing. You know, you see the things that you may partake in that makes everyone else healthy, makes everyone else happy, but begin to look at yourself and say, I deserve to be happy too. You know, I deserve joy, you know, because happiness is dependent upon situations and circumstances. So begin to seek out those things that bring you joy. You know, maybe you like to take walks in the park. Maybe you like to go bike ride, and, you know, maybe you like knitting, whatever it is that you really enjoy doing and that it brings yourself joy, begin to do those things. And I often say if it's something that you want in your life and the way for you to really to tap in and to receive it that will bring you joy, begin to look upon someone else. You know, if you're looking to, like, build a company or something like that, begin to branch out and to help somebody with what they're doing. And then God, he's going to look at you and be like, wow, you know, it's something that you wanted, you know, and God is able to give it to you, but yet you took the time, just a little bit of time, to invest in somebody else, and it's going to come back to you as well. But I think it's just, you know, just so very important. Find those things that bring you joy and begin to operate in them. You know, even if it's reading a book to, you know, someone that can't read or, you know, something like that, if that's what brings you joy, do that. If you like sitting down doing your fingernails, whatever it is that you can find joy in and that makes you happy, begin to do that for yourself. We have to begin to look upon ourselves and to partake in those things that make us joyful.
That's great advice. Amen. That's really good advice, because sometimes mm-hmm. when you take your mind off of yourself and you help someone else, actually mm-hmm. that's very beneficial.
Is it?
It really
yeah,
is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Mm-hmm. Stacy.
Yes, I am back on the mic. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you can.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Everybody's answer is excellent. And I love the flow of this discussion with Apostle Sheila's question, because it's an excellent question. But I want everybody to take notice how everybody is responding differently. Now, Apostle Sheila always gives scriptures, no matter what. I always give scriptures, no matter what. And so, I mean, the other ladies do too. But for me, I found my strength in the Word of God. And there were times when I doubted God, where I, you know, if God really loved me, he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Why do I feel abandoned? Why do I feel rejected? Why am I isolating myself because of what other people did to me? So I love to journal. So I started mm-hmm. asking God questions. So God started speaking to me and giving me scriptures and showing me things. So I'm very analytical. I analyze things. I see things, but I don't see what you see. And God has given me a very unusual way of thinking outside of the box. For I say, God, help me to minister your word in a non-traditional way. Help me to pray in a non-traditional way because I want to reach your people. So this is a Christian radio network, but it's a network. It's God's network of love, but it's for all people. So I have to be able to relate to all people. So one thing I love to say is get a pen and a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle of that paper. And on the left side, you're going to write your negative. You're going to write negative at the top of that column. And on that right side, you're going to write positives. And everything that you're feeling that's in the negative, you're going to write down all of those negatives. And then everything that's positive about you and happening in your life, you're going to put all of those positives in that positive column. So then you're going to one by one go through that negative list with God. And Apostle Sheila, I think the most profound thing you said tonight was the spirit of robbery, like the thief, he comes to steal. Everything in my whole foundation is based on John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So I say that to say, with John 10:10, we see the negatives and we see the positives, depending on how you're looking at it. So when you look at that negative column, what happened to you? How did it make you feel? Does that feeling or does that action directly relate to you? Did you perform that act? And if your question is no, then you right away need to throw that in the trash because that's not yours. That was put on you by what happened to you. That was put on you by what was said to you. So I had to learn how to put away those things, get rid of those things that serve no purpose and have no value. Now, sometimes I made bad decisions and I ignored God and I was rebellious with my actions. So that stuff was mine that was in the negative column. So I say, God, show me in your word how I can deal with this level of hurt and pain because I'm broken right now. So then he takes me to the word and Psalms 51:10, created me a clean heart, oh God. God will do what we ask him to do, but the key is asking questions. Now, I grew up in a very traditional Baptist church. We was taught, don't be questioning God. Don't be saying, you know, asking God questions. How else are you going to learn? So in that way, I was a rebel. And I you know, I'm going to ask God questions because they couldn't answer my questions. So when God gives you direction and it's something in that negative column that you can actually correct and move to that positive column, then that's what you do. But if it stays in that negative column, guess what? You have to throw it in the trash. Because if you don't throw it in the trash, that thing is going to grow, and then something else is going to come, and it's just going to grow on top of it. And before you know it, that little molehill is going to become a mountain, and that's how strongholds are formed. So we're dealing with self-abandonment. Some of the cohorts with the spirit of self-abandonment is isolation, rejection, self-loathing. And really, self-loathing is hating yourself. The enemy wants to lie and trick us into believing that we are not worthy and we deserve to get what happened to us. God don't love us no more. God is never going to forgive us. That's all negative stuff. So when I started recognizing the lies of the enemy, that's when I had to start applying the word of God. So for me, it was the truth of God's word with practical assignments like with this conference table. And I often, if you've been following me for a while, I always go to the conference table because it really works. But if you start journaling, like somebody right now, this is really ministering to you. And you're getting direction, but you have so much, like, If you at the grocery store and you got so many groceries in your bag is about to bust. That's how you feel right now. And so God wants you to get a pen and get a piece of paper and start writing. Because as you start writing, he's going to start taking stuff out of your bag. I want to make this practical. He's going to start taking those jars out of your bag that are weighing you down. He's going to start taking out all of those heavy objects so your bag could get a little lighter. And it may not happen overnight. You may need to get a journal and write every day. But the thing is to continue writing because you're like a teapot right now. One, the littlest thing right now is going to push you over the edge. And I'm speaking prophetically to someone. And the enemy desires to get you caught up in your feelings and in your emotions so that you will display behavior that is not true to your nature. That's not true to your nature. And I'm telling you, you are right on the edge of your breakthrough. And God sent you here tonight to listen to this broadcast so that we can help you maintain your composure. We are going to fight for you. We're going to pray for you. But we want you to understand that you don't have to fight this battle because the battle is not yours. Another name for God is Jehovah Gabor, or Rabashata, and he is fighting this battle for you. But you have to do your part. You can't make no excuses. Tonight is the night for all of us to eliminate the excuses. And that is another part of my response. If you really want to overcome anything that you're dealing with, you have to eliminate the excuses. Things happen, and there are legitimate reasons as to why. That, like, even with this bag that's full to capacity and is about to bust, it's a legitimate reason why you can't lift that bag. It's too heavy. So somebody might have to come help you. But you know what? You tried, and you did your best. That's not an excuse. But when you make that excuse, oh, I can't carry that bag, it's just because you don't want to carry that bag. So we have to be willing to let go. And we have to be willing to do the work that God is not going to do. God said, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the prophetic instruction is come. You have to come. You have to go. You have to move. So going back to that negative positive, and I said if you let that negative stay there, listen, some of you've been parked in that negative column for so long, the spirit of negativity has planted seeds in your mind and in your heart. And so the word of God can't even breathe because all of these weeds and negativity is in there. But, hallelujah, the weeds are dying because of this message tonight, because of this discussion tonight. And to God be the glory for that. And I'm never going to apologize for being long-winded, but I had to say what God put on my heart to say. And I turn it back over to you, Erica. And we do have some callers. Callers, be patient with us. We get ready to go down the line. And Erica, do you want me to call the first one?
Yes, ma'am. Please call the first caller.
Okay, and anyone that is listening, if anything is standing out to you, please press 1 and we will open your mic and we're trying to get to everyone. And if your situation is personal in nature and you want to speak to someone, one of us, privately, just inbox me on Facebook or you can reach just raise your hand and we could talk to you privately on the back end. But we want to make sure everybody is heard tonight. So caller with the last 4 numbers, 5422, your mic is open, and thank you so much for your patience. Five, four, two, two.
Hi, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. My name is Leticia. I just wanted to comment on a few things that were said, even though you kind of recap most of it already. But as far as that hole in the soul, I do think a lot of times it does take community because, like you said, sometimes you're in such a depressive state that, you know, nothing makes sense to you. You have no hope. So we are our brother's keeper. And a lot of times we have to partner with others. We have to be discerning of others, you know, as the Holy Spirit shows us that, you know, hey, you know, the sister needs help or the brother is going through something, even though they may not have, you know, opened their mouth to share that with you, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we can be discerning. And we are told to those that are strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. So, again, I think it does take community, and we have to be patient with others. We have to love others back to wholeness, because there is so much brokenness. And as it was stated, a lot of times, you know, not just non-Christians, but Christians too, don't want to hear anything about God during that time because their hearts are just broken. So we have to, as sometimes, meet the natural need, you know, before their spiritual ears are open. So again, we just have to love people back to wholeness. We're no better than the next person. So, you know, when we see somebody going through, just be patient and love them, intercede on their behalf. Go through it with them. You know, you may have to sit up all night with them. You may have to, you know, listen to them on the phone. You may have to just hug them, but just let them know that they're not alone. And as far as just doing some things to kind of take care of ourselves, I know it's been said as far as music is powerful. And like it was said, it doesn't have to be Christian music all the time. Sometimes you can just put on some music, you know, dancing and Christian music and be happy and dancing too. Sometimes you just need to go to bed a little earlier, get some more sleep so that, you know, your body can be relaxed, your brain can be recharged. And sometimes too, watch a comedy, get some laughter in you. The scripture says that laughter is like medicine. So just laugh, whatever it takes, whatever you need to do to get yourself through, because your ladder will be greater. Amen.
That was well said. Well said, Miss Lakeisha, right? Well,
Lakeisha.
Well said. I love everything you said, and I'm going to chime in on one little thing before we go to the next caller or if anyone else has anything to say. But you said that, you know, sometimes you got to stay up with people and you be on the phone. And you know what? Someone did that exact thing for me. My former manager got on the phone with me when I called her for help, and she stayed up with me until midnight and walked me through. I was on the job, and they were trying to get me fired, and she said, this is how we're going to take care of this, and said, I mean, midnight, we were on the phone for like 4 hours as she walked me through what I needed to do. So what I'm trying to do is pass that on. What she gave to me is invaluable. And she gave me her time, and she could never get that back. And that's worth more than you could do for anybody, is give them your time. They will so appreciate it.
Amen.
So definitely, that was well said. Well said and well received.
Amen.
And thank you so much for offering your, you know, your comments.
Well, I have to jump in here. Lakeisha, it is nice to meet you. This is Stacy, and I think you earned a mic tonight. I'm going to keep your mic open so you could just join us at the table. That was,
right.
I mean, you totally stole my heart when you said it takes a community and it takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let everybody that is on this line, including those that are listening on the internet, we love you. We're not just saying it. And some of you, you may be meeting me for the first time, but believe me, I love and I love hard, and I love every single person that come through the doors. We have to go back to love. We love because God first loved us. And we have to be willing to help somebody else because somebody helped us. And I love how there's so much balance because we're showing the negatives and we're showing the positives, and we can't get to the point where we get healed and delivered and then we think we got it all together. There's always going to be somebody that's in the beginning process of what God has brought us out of. But we have to be so mindful that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And in Isaiah the 43rd chapter in verse 10, it says, we are his servants and his witnesses. And God wants us to know him and understand him. So what I want you to understand tonight, everyone, is that you are his servant and you are his witness. So we're witnessing to one another by this discussion and by our experiences. And what you said, Lakeisha, was just so, it was needed. But, I mean, eloquently spoken. It really was. So thank you so much for sharing. And Apostle Sheila and Talana, if y'all want to respond to her, please do so. And after that, we're going to go to the next caller.
Amen. I think what Leticia said was spot on point. It does take a village. It says, you know, like you may hear the saying, it takes a village to raise raise children or a child. You know, we have to be transparency. And even when we see, you know, others going through, we can't turn a deaf ear as to what it is they're going through, because what they are going through is real. Is real to them, and therefore we should have a concern for them as to what they are going through. And when we also begin to show ourselves transparent, letting them know, hey, you're going through this, and we're saved, and they may not be saved, but that doesn't neglect the fact that they are a human being and that we were there once in their shoes as well. So I think transparency is so important, to let people know, yes, you're going through, but I found myself going through at one time. I'm no different than what you are, but we can begin to love and to show them the way. We got to be transparent in showing people, you know, how things can change for their lives. So don't think that we're so high and mighty that we can't find ourselves back in situations, or that we have never come through certain situations. We got to be transparent. We got to show them, yes, I've been there. You know, I love you. I've been there. You know, we can understand what they're going through, but yet we can have a heart towards them to be able to stand beside them. And just like the other callers are saying, we're standing beside them, and we're willing to go through with them. You know, we can hold their hand. We can be that listening ear to them as they begin to pour out their heart upon what they're going through in their situations. But it's so important for us to be there. And I often look at it, you know, Jesus is there for us. Whenever we find ourselves, even as saved individuals, even us that have the relationship with Christ, when we find ourselves in situations, guess who's right there beside us? Christ is right there beside us. He's not going to turn a deaf ear to us. He's going to be right there as we come running to him like a little child running down the street that done scraped their knee, but yet God is still right there, you know, right there with open arms ready to receive us and to help and to guide us. So we got to be willing to stand the trenches, go in the trenches with the people and to be there to help them. And just like Sister Leticia is saying, we got to love them back to wholeness, you know, just as God loves us back to wholeness. It's so important. So important.
Amen.
Amen, absolutely.
Amen.
Apostle Sheila, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I just want to agree with everyone so far as to say that the word tells us that Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When we're in our dark space, in our dark time, we often feel, as Stacy reiterated, that we often feel isolated. And it's very important to understand that in the midst of our isolation, somebody has gone through this process as well. And I think it's important to say transparency is extremely important. We need to see someone who's been there, who an example, to walk toward as a goal, a marker, in order to get through our process. I always say transparency is the first step to deliverance. You need to see somebody or hear someone's transparency. And I just wanted to share, the caller said that, talked about being happy, a merry heart. A merry heart does do good like a medicine. There was a case study done some number of years ago with
okay, excuse
a group.
Me, excuse me a minute, Apostle Sheila. Someone is, it's a lot of background noise. If you could mute your phone. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Apostle Sheila. I'm sorry.
Okay, this case study took a group of individuals who had cancer and put them on a prescription of laughter, comedy. Their prescription was to watch comedic programs. And over a period of time, I think over 6 months to 9 months, they watched comedic programs, you know, on and off throughout the day. And all of those individuals in the case study were healed because, the word says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And, you know, sometimes the only way we can pull ourselves up out of that dark pit of despair is through some flicker of hope, a laughter, a child's laugh, a baby's laugh, making yourself laugh by thinking about a memory to give, and that laughter produces hope. It lights an ember of hope in our lives to help produce the flame, the fire, to reignite the fire, to take us toward our place of healing. So thank you, caller. I appreciate your remarks.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well said. Stacy?
Okay, we have caller. Yes, I'm here. Caller with the last four numbers, 9018. I'm opening up your mic right now. How are you? Thank you for your patience.
I'm blessed by God's grace. Are you
able
to hear me?
Yes.
My name is Purvis, and I've been listening for quite a while this evening as I'm traveling, and a lot of different topics I grabbed out of what was being said. I mean, like y'all took me from early childhood influences all the way back to Genesis when the first deception began to take place in the garden. And when I look at childhood influences, it helps to contribute to the people that we become. And when negative things are spoken to us, those seeds are planted very early. We begin to look at ourselves and we begin to become the product of what people had planted in our lives. For instance, I grew up back in the days when names meant something. And if you had a name on the corner with the corner boys and they called you Snake, everybody pretty much knew because of your particular character that you may have been slimy or whatever. So a lot of times in our homes, these names and these put-downs that may not came from the parent, may not have been to injure the child, but sometimes they those things begin to hold on and it festers as life goes on. And when we look at, again, deception, we know that it was very early in the garden when the serpent came, and that deception about surely God didn't say, you know, to make people think or to make Adam and Eve think that God was not on their side. When I look also at God, when he spoke to Adam or when after he created everything, he said that it is not good that man should be alone. Now, in my own thinking, he may not necessarily have been talking about that Adam needed Eve. I believe that what he was also saying in conjunction with that is that man needs man. In other words, we need one another. So, again, there were so many different topics and areas where y'all went at tonight that I would love to be able to address them all, but I can't. But I do know that some other things I heard people speak about, or I heard y'all speak tonight about how loving people back to where they need to be. One thing about Jesus, he was very good at that. Jesus always met people where they were at. He didn't bring condemnation, but what he did bring was healing. He brought about deliverance. He met them where they were at. He gave them the opportunity to be able to share what they were going through, what their lifestyles was all about. And even in some cases, that when they didn't reveal everything, but because we know that he's the Lord, we know that he's God, we know that he knows everything. even as it was with the woman at the well. So when we learn that and we can develop that particular maturity about ourselves to meet people where they're at, I think that we can help people out of what they're going through. We may have similar experiences as they have, and we may not even have had a clue as to what their particular experience is. But I believe that God gives us what we need to be able to give them what they need. There's another portion of scripture that says that there is no temptation except that which is common to man, but God is faithful. That lets me know that all of us go through something. Some of us are just better at hiding it. I heard it early on where people was talking about, where you all were talking about how we wear masks, and we're good at that. We're good at letting people see what we want them to see and not really what's going on with us. So we are hurt. We're broken. We're fragmented because of sin, you know, the original sin. And we're broken people. And it's only by God's grace that any of us can get the true healing in which we need. Now, again, like it had already been said, it may not necessarily be us bombarding them with the word of God. Even we should know our hidden agenda, if I can say it like this, our hidden agenda is to bring them to that place in Christ. But it may not necessarily be the thing that we have to put right down out front and jam it down their throats. I remember one time I was sharing with one of my children, and she constantly kept saying, Dad, you got to remember, everybody is not where you at. And it kind of like hit me below the belt because she said, you didn't get there overnight. So sometimes we have to, just like it was said, we have to sit there with people. That nurturing to people may not just be that one time sitting with them either. We may have to sit with them time and time and time and time again. So sometimes we just say, you know what, I don't even want to be bothered with them no more, but you be bothered with them anyway. So again, there's so much that you all have put out there tonight that I'm not even going to try to address every issue, because I am a talker and I don't want to, you know, take up the whole show. But again, those are just some of the things that I grabbed there, you know. Meeting people where they're at, and early childhood deception or influences, because we as parents, we have to be very careful what seeds we sow into the lives of our children, because we have to realize they're not going to be children forever. They're going to grow up. They're going to be grown. A lot of times when I'm talking to single women that have sons, I have to let them know that you can't look at that son as being a son all the time, because what you're doing, you're raising a man, because he will be a man a lot longer than he would be that child. So again, there are a whole lot of things that go on in the lives of us people that we are very good at concealing and holding back, and it's going to take the Spirit of God. I also heard someone say that when you're hurting and you're down there so deep, where the pain is so deep and people just aren't thinking about God, and that's true. But we know that no one can come unless they're drawn by the Spirit. And it's good when you have people that have wisdom to be able to share kindness with them, because kindness can win people over. Kindness can bring people out of that hurt and out of that despair. And they're willing to receive that from you when you show them the love of Christ. And I believe that it takes the love of God in us so that God can love people through us. Again, I'm not going to talk about everything, but I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to be able to just share a little bit, and perhaps I'll chime in again at another time when I have more time to be able to share more. But I do thank you for your platform that you have and those that are present tonight. May you all be blessed and be well.
Thank you so much, Mr. Purvis, right? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
That'll work, yes.
Well, thank you for your grace. This is Erica. Thank you for your grace. I appreciate that. But we have Apostle Sheila would like to respond to your comments.
Okay.
I so appreciate hearing a response from a male perspective. And one of the most important things you said tonight was about how this starts early in life. To steal our identity and put us in trauma mode, and how a mother raising a son is not only raising a son, but she's raising a man, and he's a man longer than he is a son. So I just so appreciate hearing a male perspective on what we've been talking about tonight and how many points have been so applicable to your life, and how you so eloquently brought those through for us on tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you.
And Mr. Fergus, I'm sorry,
no,
Erica, go ahead.
I was going to ask if anyone else wanted to say something.
Yes, I'm on the edge of my seat. Hi, Mr. Purgers. I thank God for you because I was going to, before you, I didn't know it was a male. I mean, we don't know until they open their mouth. But I was going to let everyone know this conversation is not just for females because men go through the same thing we go through and also how it affects our children. So, Purgis, you opened up talking about the children. So I told Erica, I said, well, I want to respond to him too because what you said just opened up a whole nother segment for me to introduce to Lana Coleman, who is the author of I Am Important, because you literally did a commercial for her. So I must let her speak on what you said because the subtopic of her book is teaching children about acceptance. And it is so important that all of us, no matter where we are, and even Apostle Sheila, going back to your question, how can we in the natural heal from self-abandonment? No matter what we're dealing with, we must come to that place of acceptance because as long as we are in denial, we're not going to be able to be honest with ourselves or honest with God. So having said that, Talana, would you shift this conversation a little just to bring a focus in on our children because many of our children are dealing with these issues. And with you having a Christian daycare, I know that you, Talana was a guest on the radio show not too long ago, and it was so good. But she's a wealth of information and our special surprise guest tonight. So, Talana, could you please respond to Purgis because I know you got something to say, and then enlighten us about your book and why you wrote the book and how the book fits into what we're talking about and how we can help children where, because even with us, those seeds, like he said, was planted at a young age, and they grew with us.
Yeah,
and it's just like the wheat and the tears. If the time comes where that separation comes. And then the last thing, Purgis, I want you to get in touch with me. My telephone number is 302-452-4230. I want to invite you to be a special guest because there's a word from the Lord for you, from you for somebody else. So please get in contact with me. I don't know. How did you learn about the show tonight?
Well, one of my daughters had told me about this program as well as my wife.
Okay.
But if I can make one statement, you did say that I did a commercial for Sister Coleman. Am I able to receive some royalties from that commercial?
Yes, you can. We going to load you up with prayers. Yes. But see, you already got all of those rewards. And you know, I love how the Holy Ghost just allows things to flow together. And it's just amazing. You know, you just made my night, and I just thank God. But I know who you are now, but thank God. I'm glad to have you here with us. But you are welcome back. Welcome back. You are welcome back. Thank God.
Okay.
So, Talana, come on and bring it on in.
Amen, amen. Pastor Purvis, a.k.a. D.A.D., I thank you for, you'll get your royalties, but I thank you for the interest, you know, that God has laid upon your heart this year with the panel as well as the listening audience. It's just as you said, it's so important that even as women are raising their sons, you know, even as they are raising their sons, you know, they really have to really begin to look at it, that these sons are going to one day become adults. They're going to one day become men. So it's so important that the things that we are instilling within them, that we are really just preparing them, even though they may be young, but we have to even just look at it that we're preparing them for the future. And even as we prepare them for the future, we want to make sure that we're instilling good values within them so that even as they gravitate and they're attaching themselves to these great values, that even as they become adults and with their own families, that they can impart the same wisdom into each of them. So it's so important, just as Stacey was indicating, again, Kalana Coleman, I am the author of the book, I Am Important. And with this particular book, I really just wanted everyone to know, all children to know, that they are important. You know, there are certain stigmas that are placed upon individuals, and it's so important that everyone, all of these children, begin to know that God has designed them, that God has a purpose for them, and God has planted some awesome qualities within them and some gifts and some talents. And even with those gifts and talents, God wants them to be able to share those gifts and talents, to work in those gifts that he has given unto them. So we don't want to neglect the fact that, yes, children, as they are coming up, they may be up against some things in their lives, but nevertheless, you know, God still loves them. And I think it's so important that we as adults, we as parents, you know, it's so important that we begin to speak those affirmations over the lives of our children. We got to begin to speak life in our children. If we're going around and we're speaking nothing but negativity into the lives of these children and to the lives of our children, once you keep speaking that those things into their life, that's what they're going to eventually begin to believe that they are. So therefore, we have to really, really tap into the importance and the effect that takes place if you keep those negative things into the lives of our children. So,
Alana, hold on one moment, Alana.
Just a little background.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's okay.
We're getting a lot of background noise.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm trying. Whoever that is, can you turn your radio down? Okay, we apologize for the interruption. Go ahead, Talana. We didn't hear you.
Okay, not a problem. And, you know, we have to really begin to speak life into the lives of children, you know, whether it's our children or whether it's children within our community. We can see children in our community and we can just begin to say, oh, that child is a nuisance. That child does whatever it is that they do that may be upsetting to us. But why don't we begin to, instead of looking at that child in a negative aspect, why don't we begin to reach out to help that child? We never know what a child is going through or has gone through. So for us to judge, and even God, as God tells us, we're not to judge, we shouldn't be so quick to judge others because we don't know what they're going through. And I can even say that even in my child care program, I have many children that God has blessed me to care for and to teach and to minister to. But I can even say that even as those many families that I've been entrusted with, I've had many children to come through my doors and to just to think of the things that they've been gone through even as young ages four, you know. So it's very, very crucial that we have a heart towards children and that we really begin to want to help children because they, again, they are our future. And if we don't have the mindset to want to help them and to help them to understand that they are important, that they are loved, that they have potential, you know, what's there to hope for? You know, what's there to hope for? So, you know, it's just so important. And it's one portion within my book It says, I will give thanks to my creator who created me, and he makes no mistakes. Jesus reminds me that he loves me just as I am. So once we can really begin to tap and to let children know, because we have some other children that in the world that are very cruel, but once we begin to teach our children that they are important, once they begin to know who they are and who they belong to, when those negative comments begin to come their way, it won't shake them. And the reason it won't shake them, because we, as parents, we have already been giving our children those affirmations. And just like the other young lady had mentioned, she was saying the affirmations as far as for someone that finds themselves in self-abandonment, the importance of the affirmations is no different for with children. We have to begin at an early age to begin to teach those children self-affirmations so that they can have something to stand on. And even with the self-affirmations, it really begins to show them and to teach them and for them to really know that God created you. You know, God created you, so it's time for you to begin to love who God has created you to be. You know, people will come, others may come, and they may have their opinions and their judgments about certain things about you, but once someone really begins to know who they are, once they know who they are and who loves them and the potential that God has placed in them, it's not too much that others can tell you. You know, God tells us in his word that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, in Psalms 139, verses 13 and 14. God made me, so there's no mistake in what God has created. So it's time for us to really begin to allow our children to know I'm special. I'm important. I have purpose, you know, and even as children begin to learn that, they can even start beginning to tell their friends, you know. But another point I want to look at is in reference to when it comes to parents and the mental health of children. We want to make sure that our children are good. They may come to child care, and the provider wants to make sure that that child is good. But I'm often reminded that, yes, this child may be good, but if that parent or that loved one or whomever is caring for that child, if they have some issues, it affects the child. So therefore, we must really begin to tap into that. We got to make sure those parents or whoever that child has to go home to, we have to make sure that they're mentally stable, that they're okay, because, again, that child won't have to return right back to that environment. So I would say even within my particular program, it's so important to me that the parents are good. You know, if there is something that I can help them with, Lord, give me the discernment that I need to be able to help this family, you know, and it's just so very important that it's that discernment, you know, because not every family will be so willing to give you information, but with God's discernment, God will begin to show you the things that family needs some assistance, and then with a loving heart, we can then begin to move towards getting the help for that family. So it's just so very important. It's a trickle-down effect, you know, when children are not in a safe, so to say, environment. It's a trickle-down effect, and it affects children in many, many, many different ways. It can come out whether it be in their behavior. They can even go into isolation themselves. You know, they can go into hurting and cutting themselves. There's a whole array of things that can begin to trigger down when we see that a child is not in a safe environment. So we just have to continue to help the parents to know that we are there for you. There are resources out there that will be made available to people that they can receive the help that they need. And if I can just say, if parents, just please don't be afraid. You know, find someone that you can really trust. Find someone that you can trust and that you'll be willing to share information and that you'll be willing to allow someone to help you. because help is available, but we have to want to receive it ourselves, so that not only the children are made whole, but also the family members are made whole as well. It's so important because, again, we don't want children, the things that they go through as a child, that it'll affect them in their adulthood. And it's just like, okay, a child may have gone through something that wasn't dealt with as a child. Then they go into the teenage years, and then they go into the adult year. And then what happens is they begin to take on the family themselves. They begin to marry and things like that. All that baggage that took place as in their childhood, guess what? It's being dragged over to their adulthood.
And we know even with that,
you know, that could be tragedy in itself. You know, we see so many things on the news even today, you know, where unfortunately things are taking place, and it's stemming from perhaps the childhood and going up to the adulthood. So we really got to begin to tap into, you know, how God will have us to be able to help people, you know, asking God to really to give us a heart towards helping people. You know, we have to look to restore hope. We got to want to restore hope. And I always say I have an acronym for my daycare, helping other people endure. You know, we got to help people want to endure through these situations, because it's going to take some endurance. You know, we can't quit at the finish line, you know, but we got to give people that mindset and give them tools that they need. It's not going to be an easy fix. It's going to take some things to get us to that next hurdle, but you got to want to endure. You know, we got to want to endure so that we can see ourselves reaching the finish line. And even when we reach the finish line, when our breakthrough is about to come, we can't raise up our hand and say, I quit. You know, we can't do that, guys. And I'm having you right here at this finish line. I'm about to bring you out of some things, but yet you ready to quit. So, you know, it's just so important, you know, that we rally together as a community, that we are able to help other people and, you know, to love on them and show them that there is hope. You know, we got to want to offer hope to a dying world, just as Christ offers us hope. We have to have that same mindset that we want to offer hope to this dying world in which we live.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that information. And for those of you that are listening, you can get a copy of Talana Coleman's book. The title is I Am Important. And it is on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. And guess what? God blew her book up. This book is everywhere. When I interviewed her, she didn't even know. God, like, it comes up in the Google search. It comes up everywhere, and that's favor. But, Talana, you also did a commercial for Apostle Sheila, so she's going to chime in on the children aspect as well, but she is going to enlighten us about special needs children. And after Apostle Sheila finishes, we have one more caller on the mic, and we are down to 20 minutes left in the show. So I want to make sure that we get the other caller, and thank you so much for your patience. Thank you to everyone that is listening. If you do have a comment, a prayer request, or just comforting words for any of our speakers tonight and our lovely host, Miss Erica Burnett, please press 1 so that you can encourage them or say whatever God places on your heart. But right now, Apostle Sheila, oh, we have some other hands. Oh, we got some more questions. So, Apostle Sheila, tell us about the special needs children, and then we're going to go straight to the line.
Okay, I'll make it brief. As a special needs advocate, I always try to encourage parents that they're the greatest advocate their children have. Oftentimes we relegate our children, especially if they're developmentally delayed or developmentally disabled or have trauma, have come from a trauma aspect, we're engaged to relegate our children to the care of services. service agencies, the school systems, but we have to take the power back into our own hands and advocate for our children, especially children. I can speak personally regarding children with trauma because I have a special needs son. I adopted him at 4 years old, and he's now 13. So we did not understand the magnitude of trauma that was inflicted upon him by his biological mother, and that trauma began to manifest itself in various behaviors. And it took a walk, a journey through some dark halls of the social service system and a lot of, you know, knocking down doors, not knocking at doors, but knocking down doors to get supports and services for him to be able to and to be able to maintain in the school system. And so as a parent of a special needs child, I would encourage parents to advocate and don't take no for an answer, because the system is not designed to help. The system is designed to pay its employees and frustrate the parents. So my sister was right. It does take a village, and all the resources that are available. If one person has resources, it's important to share those resources with others. Information is power, and we need to put that information out on the table and make it readily available to all. And so if anyone on the line or any listener has questions regarding advocacy for your special needs child, I encourage you to reach out, and we'll help you to navigate through that system. But trauma inflicts is a thief as well, and it starts early. It can start early in our children, and we want to be able to advocate for our children for their healing.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sheila. Thank you so much, Kalana. This is what it's all about. I really believe that God is just amazing, and he has just orchestrated all of this tonight. Excuse me. But we're going to keep going for time's sake. We have caller with the last four numbers, 6689. I'm opening up your mic. Thank you for your patience.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi, how are you? Good evening.
My name is Linda. My name is Linda. And I really thank God for all of you and for all of your comments and for all of your input, because, like, I almost went full cycle my whole life just listening to you all, you know, and it's a good thing. When I first saw the words self-abandonment, I wanted to understand about that. And judging yourself and fear and letting go of some things. And I just, it's so much I want to share just about what I've gone through, what God has brought me through, what he's brought me out of, and how he's working on the inside of me, on the inside of me. You know, like, God really loves me. And it's taken the better part of my life to accept the fact that he loves me. You know, simply because of different things that have occurred in my life, what people have done. And when you speak about children, I'm going there with y'all, because I experienced so much as a child. I can remember this particular day, I was crying in my mom's room and in the bed. And, like, did Jesus realize they were singing the song? Like, yes, Jesus loves me. You know, I learned that in Sunday school. And I was crying, and I was saying, does Jesus really love me? But I want to thank and I praise God because he really does love me. He's brought me through so much, praise God. I don't even know where to begin. For real, you know, because your children, they carry this on into their adult life. And so many of the mistakes that I've made because one of the things you all spoke about was doing things to please the other person, especially in a relationships, a male-female relationships. And I did that. And after a while, it dawned on me, they're not trying to do nothing I want, but all of these things stemmed from some things that happened in my youth, you know, me feeling that nobody wanted me and that I wasn't wanted and I wasn't worth anything. And I am worth something, but I thank and I praise God that even on today, as God is continuing to minister to me, you know, he allowed the tears to flow. He allowed me to pick up the phone and call someone. We had prayer. And as God, and as he was praying, prayer was going forth, praise God, the Holy Spirit said, I'm standing right here. Hallelujah, I'm standing right here.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to heal you. And I thank you and I praise God for that. You know, it's just like, I can't explain it all. All I know is, that he's doing it. You know, God is doing it. Somebody said, let something go, let it go. I had to first find out what I had to let go. You know, so I thank and I praise God for today. I thank and praise God for right now, you know, because it ain't over. It's not over.
Yes.
And people need to know it doesn't matter if you're 175 or 25 years old, God will still set you free. And that's all. I mean, I thank God, praise God for all y'all. And Stacey, you know, I have to talk a while. Well, I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. So I thank God.
Well, praise God, praise God. But I love you. I feel that fire. You about to start a fire up in here. Hallelujah. And we're going to let the other callers comment as well, and then we'll come back, and whoever wants to comment can comment. So caller with the last four numbers, 0919, I'm opening up your mic, and God bless you, Miss Linda. Stay encouraged.
Thank you. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi.
Okay. Hi. Thank welcome you. To the mic.
Hi. This is Annie Moore, and I just wanted to tell you all I have so thoroughly enjoyed the program tonight. I mean, I really have. It has touched a lot of what I've experienced in my life, what we're going through right now. And I wanted to just share that Miss Linda has gone through. I just love you for sharing, and the gentleman that shared their experiences. And I'm a teacher, and what I wanted to share, and I'm not going to talk very long. I might set my timer. So I won't talk long because I can talk. Stacey knows. Stacey and I are friends, and she knows I can talk. But I'm a special education teacher, and my husband had a stroke in April of last year, and I resigned my position for this school year to teach. I didn't sign a contract, but I did tell some principals that I would, if teachers went out to have a baby or they had surgery, I would go in for them, and they paid me very well to do that until they came back. And I remember one experience I had a little girl who every day, this little girl got in trouble. Every day I would encourage her, but she was so full of anger and she was so manipulative where she would bother other students. And so every day she had recess detention where she couldn't play outside, where she would have to walk, and then she'd get to play a few minutes. And then it occurred to me one day, it's like, and I talked to some other teachers, and they say, yes, she's done this for years, and yes, we give her punishment, and it doesn't work. And God had to put in my spirit, remind me, the punishment is not working with this child because she has, it's like she's got immune to that. And so I began to tell her, you are so smart. You are loved. You are so smart, and you can behave, and you know how special you are. And
the last day, I'll never forget, before I left that assignment, I hugged her and I said, Denise, I said, you are beautiful and you are so smart and I love you and I will miss you. And she cried and I cried and I went back to the room with the other students. And Denise came over and she gave me a note. And I opened it. She gave me a note and she smiled and she walked off. When I opened the note, it said, I love you and I will miss you.
Oh, praise God. Yes, yes.
And as much as we know to sow into our children love, when you see their behavior day after day, and the school system is saying, Denise needs to be XYZ, and you're trying to get her to focus and to behave to get there, you can easily get caught up in what expected of you and forget to be kind and loving and encouraging. And I'm thankful for the young lady who said, who has the child care center. We have to speak into our children. They have to know, because if they don't know, if we don't tell them, social media is going to tell them. And that is why so many kids are committing suicide, because they have no one speaking into them except other children who are hurting themselves. And so if we don't tell them, the world is going to tell them, and that may not end in a good way. So we do, and I love that you said the parents too. They have to get help. And I tell teachers that we go into meetings, I say, you know, we don't know what parents go through. It's not that they don't care. A lot of teachers will say they don't care. I say I don't know that they don't care. They most likely they do care. They may be dealing with so much stuff, but they don't get the help that they need a lot of times either. So children go back. We encourage them. They go back to where they may not be in an encouraging, you know, environment. So I'm just thankful that I got an opportunity to be in Denise's life, encourage her, and that she, you know, that it made a difference to her. And I just want to say this, and then I'm going to be finished. But yes, advocate for special needs children. A lot of parents don't know how to advocate for them. So what we need to do is we need to teach them how to do that. And my husband had a stroke in April, and we've been in this process so long. And when we got this process, I would walk into my husband's hospital room, and he said one day to me, he said, the same God who I believed in all this time is going to bring me through this. And what impressed me is that my husband was laying in the bed going through this, and he's encouraging me. And at first, I would go in and I say, miracle signs and wonders. We thank you, God, for miracle signs and wonders. We would read Psalm 91, Psalm 23. We would listen to Elevation music. We would listen to the other group, the guys, the ones that sung a song with, what's the name of them? It's a group that sings with Elevation, but we would listen to that every day. But the more we went through this, the longer we were in this, the more I began to be quiet, because I was so overwhelmed. I was so hurt. I was so like, where are you, God? Why did this happen to my husband? Why are we going through this? When are you going to bring us out of this? When, God? When? Where are you? Why have you left us? I know what your word says. And one day, I stayed with my husband in the hospital for 79 days for rehab. 79 days. And God told me one day, I got in the elevator. He spoke to me. I said, God, I think I know everything and I want to control everything. And what God said to me is, this is not in your control. You are not able to control this. This, and that is why you are having such a hard time with this. And a few days ago, I was just like, God, when? He said, be still and know that I am God. Be still, because I'm just all over the place. I'm trying to make this happen. I'm trying to make my husband drink water. I'm trying to do everything. I'm trying to navigate government agencies. I mean, sometimes I am so overwhelmed, and we're so ready to come out of it. But I thank God that even when I don't talk to him and I'm mad and I'm angry and I say, God, you know, and I talk to God and I tell him how I'm feeling, because it's no secret, he knows anyway. But he still loves me, and his word is still true. And I still go back to him and say, God, I apologize and forgive me for doubting. And I began to speak his word again. But for a while, my mind was sick.
The longer I was in it, the less I said, the less I prayed. I woke up in an anxiety attack. But I can tell you that God is still with us. Things that the doctor said that would not happen to my husband are happening. He's beginning to walk. So I thank God that he's
praise
hallelujah.
His promises, hallelujah. His promises, and he loves us, and he never leaves or forsakes us. And I'm done.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Annie, thank you so much for sharing that testimony. And for those of you that are listening, every Monday night I have a separate radio broadcast, and it is I Have a Testimony to Share. So if you do have a testimony to share, reach out to me, and we will get you scheduled on the program. And I want to thank the next caller. Your last four numbers end. Oh, they hung up already. I do apologize. If we have anyone else that have any comments or suggestions, words of encouragement or prayer requests, please press 1 and we will get you on the mic. But I'm going to turn it back over to our co-host, Erica Burnett. You have done a wonderful job tonight, and the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I appreciate it. Sorry, go ahead.
The person came, the last four numbers, 7987. Oh, we got two. 7987, I'm opening up your mics now.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. Apostle. Oh, dear Lord. Sister Coleman, she saw it. She had told me, but self-abandonment. Like the young lady was saying, you carry baggage from when you were a little child. I had to be that perfect little girl because if I did or said something wrong, I was brow-lashed or I was cursed, or then the partiality set in with the other children, constantly reminded that your mother didn't want you, your father didn't want you. But God didn't do all of that. God allowed me to put a smile on my face, which I hid behind the smile. But I'm always the one in the family who took care of somebody till they died. And I wanted to get it right, so I lost myself in all those relatives I took care. The last 9 years, self-abandonment, I had my grandson. And I wanted to do it so right from DHS. And then it's like it's absorbing me. And with all those other people that I took here, I never actually looked in the mirror. I am 71, but I look like I'm 90. People can't see it with the close eye, but I know. So last Easter Sunday, when I fell on my knees and asked God, I didn't know what else to do. My grandson was in a car accident. We had flipped over. He is in Montgomery County now in a correctional. So now the Lord's saying to me, what are you going to do now? What excuse do you have now but to work on yourself? I was always afraid to work on myself. I knew God had to come first, not me. But ladies, apostle, lately I've been taking that time out. I've been praying and asking God to help me. I know now that it's okay to want to get my hair done. It's okay to want to be
all right
healthy.
Now.
It's okay. I was so wrapped up in my family trying to do everything right, was married. No, I couldn't take time to be married. I had a family, dear Lord. But God is with me. He told me to be still and let him handle it. But I'm back, and I'm going to stay back. And I got a phone call the other day. And it was another grandson, and the mother screaming and hollering, I'm going to put him away. Can you take it? As much as it bothered me not to say yes, I had to say no. I told the Lord, I'm tired. I can't do this. I have to let the Lord handle this, and I'm okay. I'm getting the look like I used to look. I got my hair done. I'm depending on the Lord. He's the only one who's going to bring me through. And I thank you. I thank you for this radio time, but I'm never going to abandon myself again. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
We ought to praise God on that one right there. Hallelujah. God, we praise
Hallelujah.
We glorify you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, O God, for what you've done in her life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
We celebrate God with you tonight, sister. God bless
you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. This is delicious. So call her with the last four numbers, 4898. I'm opening up your mic. Thank you so much for your patience.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can, but hold on first. Can somebody got music playing? Thank you. If you can mute your phone.
I turned it off.
Okay, it was still playing. Okay, 4898, welcome to the mic.
Good evening, everyone. I just, oh, my gosh, I don't even know where to begin. All I know is I got a text, and the Holy Spirit said, get on this line. Usually when these things come up, I already know about it, and I'm in a place that I'm prepared where I can take notes and write and, you know, journal to myself and, you know, all those things. But that wasn't the situation tonight. And I just wanted to say how the Lord has blessed me, because I've been in and out of this prison that we've discussed tonight. And I read a devotion the other day that basically Holy Spirit had put a word in me a few weeks ago. And everything that was said regarding this topic has been, the Holy Spirit had already touched on it with me. And if I could just add one more thing, I just wanted to share a scripture and a devotion that the Holy Spirit gave me, and just how that part is helping me, but the things that you all touched on, you know, how the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we touched on how he does that at a very, very young age. I like to say, you know, even much younger than most of us tend to think, from the womb, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy us. I say that because, you know, when I was pregnant the first time, My first son, I did not want that baby. I gathered my money together. I was 18 years old. I gathered my money together, got a cash advance on my credit card. I was a little slick back then. I would fill out credit card applications and use all of my mother's information, her income, her employment, the name of the place, that kind of stuff. So I had established credit by the time I was 18 years old. So I could go have a credit card, and, you know, this would be my secret. I didn't have to tell anybody about it. But long story short, I did this out of fear. And being afraid of being a parent because of the way the abuse that I suffered growing up. And I got to the abortion clinic, and Holy Spirit would make it so, God would make it so that I'm able to see the screen. They don't usually show you the screen when they give you an ultrasound prior to aborting a baby. So I saw the image on the screen. I felt like I was just so convicted. I got off the table, wiped the gel off of my stomach, and I said, I can't do this. I felt so convicted that I didn't even collect my money order for almost $400 and walked out of that place. And so I say that all to say, when my son was born, and as he was a toddler and as he grew, I was seeing in him those feelings that I felt. I saw them manifest in him, and him feeling rejected from the womb. Not that I rejected him once he got here, but he just naturally felt rejected, so he would isolate himself and, you know, not allow people to love on him. That's one of the things I wanted to say illuminated for me when, you know, Apostle Sheila, you talked about how the enemy, you know, robs us early on, and, you know, someone else talked about, you know, how young that is. But I just want to read Hebrews 12:1. It says, and we touched on too about, you know, having endurance and running the race. I just love Florida's call, and I found it to be so fit as we close out. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that's Hebrews 12:1. And I know that Galatians 6:3-4, I know it says, 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, thus fulfilling the law of Christ. Right after that, verse 3 says, but we have to bear your own burdens. And so I'm like, you know, okay, God, you call us to bear others' burdens, and you also call us to bear our own burdens. So it took me a minute to, before Holy Spirit, because I'm, you know, I'm a deep thinker. And so Holy Spirit broke it down, and, you know, it's okay, to bear someone else's burden is to come up under them, as we talked about, you know, loving on people, spending time with them. You know, it's not always that word of encouragement to lift the person up. We have to be a vessel, that available vessel for us to come up under them and lift them up, because at this point they're no longer able to carry themselves and their cross. When we're bearing our own burdens, that is when God has given us the strength to carry us through the situation ourselves. Am I making sense? Is everybody still with me?
Yes.
Okay. And so, and we talked about love, and we, you know, I just, you know, all these things just illuminated, you know, how do you bear someone else's burdens? How do you endure with them? How do you do those things? And, you know, it all starts with love. Like it was said, and I just wanted to point that out, because while it's, you know, we have to have love, I just wanted to say, Holy Spirit illuminated in me that, you know, none of our gifts, none of the ways that God would would use us, will never work if we are ourselves are not doing that from a place of love. You know, sometimes people will do things out of convenience, you know, for show. And sometimes people do things even for God, not out of love, but out of obligation, feeling like, you know, this is something that I have to do that is pleasing of you, but it's not coming from the heart, which reminds me of the scripture, you know, you worship me with your lips. Maybe they worship outwardly with actions, right? But hearts are far from him. And to piggyback off of Hebrews 12, when I talked about, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that set before us. I was reading a devotion, and it says, Lord, your world tells me you are not the only one watching. All of heaven rejoices when one of your children finds the truth. Going back to those words of encouragement from the Bible, right? And the angels hang on our actions, minor and monumental. What a spectacle we must be. This awareness, when I recall it, motivates me to choose well, at work, to work hard, to run long. Thank you for that. And merciful God, forgive me for the times I forgot it. Tonight was a night of many, many reminders of things that I have forgotten as I slip up and down to those dark and, you know, those valleys and then mountaintops and then to the valley place again. Thank you for that, merciful God. Forgive me for the times I forgot it. I said that. Lord, help me to love self-discipline. I want to make all of heaven proud, especially you. And this requires an awareness of you. He said he would never. We have to learn to trust him when we can't trace him. And all of you and the incredible legacy I am a part of as one of your family. And I just want to say, do we really realize the incredible legacy that we have as a part of God's family? Now, the things that stuck out for me was
okay, ma'am. I'm sorry, but I need to interrupt here because you're kind of going off topic right now, and I thank you so much. But we are in overtime, so we need to wrap this up. But I thank you so much for sharing with us tonight, mm-hmm. and please tune in again. And
I will. Thank you. I didn't mean to be long-winded and getting off track, but I do understand, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight, and thank everyone for your patience. You know, it's a very broad topic, and everybody shed so much light on so many different areas, you know, and I like to give everybody time to say what they need to say because, you know, sometimes everything is like a microwave or a drive-through, but sometimes we have to, you know, pull it in because we are in overtime and people have to go to work. And I want to turn it back over to our co-host, Erica Burnett.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm going to be real, real brief. I just want to do closing remarks and just say, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It also takes a village to provide that same child that becomes an adult with wise counsel. So counseling never stops. So you definitely need someone to listen to, you know, to go to for wise counsel and to let them know what your issues are. And we all need to support one another. And be discerning of the other's needs. And that's all I'm going to say. And I'm Erica Burnett, certified life coach, and you can reach me at pathwaysofreflection.com, and you can send me an email at info@pathwaysofreflection. I said that wrong. pathwaysofreflection@gmail.com. I'm so sorry.
You take your time. You don't have to rush, because I wanted Apostle to give her closing remarks and then to Lana, but then you go. But I mean, you went already. Slow down. I mean, we already in the overtime, but
okay.
And even if you want to let Apostle Sheila give her closing remarks and then to Lana, then I'll give them, and then you could close us out. And Pastor Purgis, if you could close us out with prayer and even give the call if anybody want to accept Jesus Christ tonight, because I feel like that's what we need to do before we go. So Apostle Sheila, closing remarks, to Lana, I'll do it, then we'll come to Pastor Purgis, and then Erica, you'll take it in. And please join us next. We air tonight because we wasn't available for Friday tomorrow, but typically we are on the air on Friday, 7 p.m. And Apostle Sheila, your closing remarks, and thank you so much for your contributions tonight.
Thank you, Stacey. Just thank you for the opportunity to be able to share tonight and listen to such a wide range of feedback, because it was all applicable, all necessary, all relevant to the subject. So I just appreciate all of the feedback. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. God bless you. Talana?
Amen. Amen. Just thanking God for this opportunity, and just allow the light of Jesus Christ to continue to shine through each of us, and ask the Lord for discernment as to how he would allow us to be of help to those that are hurting in this world, so that they may understand that there is hope and that they can have a better future.
Amen. I would like to say thank you to everyone that dialed in tonight and those that are listening on the internet. This was a very, very rich broadcast tonight. My takeaway and what I want to share with you is, no matter what you have gone through, don't allow your past to dictate your future, because you're not what happened to you. You are a good thing because God said so. Not only are you a good thing, you are worthy, you are a winner, and you are victorious in Christ Jesus. Now, earlier, I wanted to mention, when Letitia mentioned the community, and Talana, I forgot what you said, but it all went together. And not only are we a community, but it's an international community. And when we was talking about that love and just dealing with people and meeting people where they are, let's do that with the Muslims. Let's do that with the Hindus. Let's do that with people that don't have the same faith that we have, because God still loves them. Now, this is the month of April, and it is Ramadan for a lot of Muslims. And I've been praying that God will do something great in the lives of Muslims during this month, where they will come to know Christ. But I couldn't end the show without saying that. No matter what a person's faith or religion, color, let's just love one them, because that's what God wants us to do. And Erica, I'll turn it over to you.
Boy, you did so well. You always do. I just want to say thank you, Stacey, always, for the opportunity to be on your show. I appreciate it. It's helping me grow and pushing me in ways that, you know, I need to be pushed. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate Ms. Talana Coleman for being on the show, Ms. Apostle Sheila Olive, and Mr. Purvis. So appreciate, because, you know, I don't want to jack the name up. So appreciate your presence, because like Stacey said, it's good to have male perspective on the show. So we truly appreciate that. And I just want to say thank you, guys. Love you all and appreciate you all. And please have a blessed, blessed, blessed rest of your week and weekend. And I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
But before we go, we're going to ask Pastor Purvis to close us out.
Okay.
And to
thank
see you.
You.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I thank you all for this one once again. And I pray that many lives.
Pastor Perkins, we can't hear you too good. You sound muffled.
You sound staticky, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
No, you still
sound
staticky.
Far away.
Okay, let's do it like this. What about now? Can you hear me now?
Okay,
much
yes.
Better.
Yeah.
Better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or worse? Okay, all right. It must be my phone. Anyway, Father God, Lord, as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you, Lord, once again for who you are. For we know, Father, Lord, that with you all things are possible. And without you, Father God, Lord, we can do nothing but fail. We know, Father God, Lord, that as a human race, as a falling race, we have been fractured, Father God, Lord, from the beginning. Not in the way in which you have created us, because when you first created us, you said that not were all things good, but things were very good. We pray, Father God, Lord, that we might be able to return back to that position in which you have called us. A position, Father God, Lord, is being your children and you being our God. So again, as these topics come up, Father God, Lord, that are very real, these issues that come up that are very real, and Father God, Lord, they're real for all of us. We pray, Father God, Lord, that we would be a community that would reach out, Father God, Lord, beyond ourselves. For you said that every man should not just think upon his own things, but he should think upon the things of others. Give us that desire, Father God, Lord, to see people, Father God, Lord, to be in who and you have created them to be. For you said in your word that we were wonderfully and fearfully made. And I believe that when people know who they are, they know what they can do. That once again, Father God, Lord, the deception that has taken place, that Father God, Lord, that will be peeled back, that we might be able to see, God, who you have created us to be. I thank you again for this forum. I pray that you will bless every listener, Father God, Lord, that they will reach outside of themselves and want to be, Father God, Lord, a help to someone else that is doing less fortunate than they are, that you might get the glory. And you may get the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Good night, everyone. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.